Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 97 of the Interviews Podcast. My dog's crying in the background. The official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of the Milan derby, which finishes 2-1 to Milan. Goals from Christian Pulisic in the 10th minute. Jesus. Federico Di Marco in the 28th and Gabbia in the 89th. As always, I'm one half of the Pulisic duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Shoot, man, where do you even start? Back to the banter era?
I'm not going to be that dramatic about it. I mean, you know, I mean, with the way some people were talking about this game and talking about this team and going down a goal early, you know, you would have thought the sky was falling.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was in the White House, you know, all types of, you know, terrible things. But listen, very disappointing performance. I'll admit I had a sense of arrogance going into this match, a really false sense of confidence, whatever you want to call it. But it happens, you know, like I don't expect to win 38 games in the league. I don't expect to breeze through the group stage in the Champions League. You don't want it to happen against your rivals. You don't want to drop a stinker, especially in the derby, especially since we won 6 in a row and, you know, no team had ever won 7 in a row. So you were kind of hoping to hold that over Milan as well. But listen, we'll get into it. But yeah, I hope Inzaghi learns from this one for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason no team has ever won 7 derbies in a row. It should be a tough game to win. But I'm not logging onto Twitter to see the reaction from Interisti because it's not good for your mental. So let's just break down this game here without being super overly emotional, unless we want to take a second to get emotional, and then we can do that. But why don't we start with what are the reasons why this could have happened? Very first thing, I mean, do you think our squad is not good enough to not win this game? I don't think that's it. Do you think Fonseca a better manager than Inzaghi?
No, not at all. I'd say, you know, I know it was pretty much our strongest starting 11, but I was not a fan of Mkhitaryan getting the start in this one. I didn't really see him offering much. He's kind of been a ghost, really, for most of the season, and we saw with his performance today. I wonder if that could have been different with Zielinski starting. I know he doesn't really offer as much on the defensive side of things, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else I could say about it, really, besides that. I don't think they're a stronger squad. I don't think they're in better form by any means, if you look at what they've done all season. So it's like,
I don't think we got tactically outclassed. I think it's...
I would say we were definitely vulnerable going through the middle. I don't know what was going on there today.
I don't think it was because of the tactics, though. Like
no. Yeah, all right. Yeah, but I just think I don't know if player focus or whatever you want to call it was there fully today. But yeah, a disappointing one.
I think there's a few things that feel pretty obvious to me. One, our big time players right now are big time players, or at least, you know, one in particular is in a bad rut. I'm looking at you, Lauti. Like, I know you had the assist for Di Marco, but there were shots that he had today that he's put away in every derby that we've seen him get those opportunities, and that doesn't happen. Same thing with Mkhitaryan. Like, you're supposed to be a kind of engine. You're supposed to be someone who can win the ball. You're supposed to be someone who's just going to harass you. Very easy to beat you tonight. Very much sloppy with your passing. You can look at the other big players, like Denzel missing, Barella and Çalhanoğlu tired. They looked tired. They just looked sluggish.
You thought so?
Yeah.
I didn't think that, but what do I know?
They weren't sharp to me.
Sharpness and fatigue to me are two different things, though.
Okay.
I would agree with you that they weren't sharp by any means. I mean, Hakan, I really didn't notice much. Barella, I thought played, you know, pretty good game. Not as good as the game against Man City, but I don't know. I feel like he plays more freely when he has Darmian next to him as opposed to Dumfries. And this isn't a shot at Dumfries, but I just think you have to have a little bit more defensive responsibility when Dumfries is on the pitch as opposed to Darmian, who pretty much doesn't offer anything going forward. So, but his long ball really led to the first goal anyway. So, I mean, I can't really knock him with that either, you know.
I thought as the game went on, they were fading. Like, they looked tired to me coming off the pitch.
I think they looked more annoyed, in my opinion. You know, you could see the look on Barella's face as he was coming off. He looked kind of frustrated, that like almost like he was like, you know, we should have done better or something. I don't know. And again, maybe that's just me reading into it or thinking that maybe that's what I was thinking and trying to, you know, place it on the players themselves. But yeah, I expected better for sure. And I was in a Twitter space talking my trash and expecting a 4-0 win. And, you know, all right, like we gave up a goal early. I for sure didn't think that they were going to win the game. That's for sure. I did not see that being a thing. But yeah, I don't know. I think I had too much confidence in this team going into this match. I thought we were going to carry the momentum from the Man City game into this, and clearly was not the case, unfortunately.
I had more nerves before this game than I did before Man City, and that's typically how it goes with Inter. It's we never want to be the favorites because we always find a way to fuck it up. Like, it's, we'd rather be chasing, we'd rather be the underdog, because just, you know, historically Pazza Inter, you know, reigns its head. So who knows? This may end up being, if you're being super optimistic, this may end up being a good result for us in the long term if they stick around with Fonseca for quite a while off the back of this win.
Yeah, I don't think they're putting another performance like this, to be quite honest, under Fonseca. So
I agree. And I also don't necessarily think that they had this great performance until, you know, the last half of the second half, where we were just getting hit on the break a lot, just getting caught way too high up the pitch. And there were some, I mean, credit to Milan, like they created some legitimate opportunities. Sommer was definitely one of the better players in this game.
He was the best player in this game. Yeah, I wouldn't even say he was a better player. He was the best. And this game could have been a lot worse had it not been for him.
Yeah. Do you, understanding that it's a super long season and we're going to drop games at some point throughout, do you feel any different about the titles that you expected us to be able to challenge for this year or bring home?
I don't know if I feel different about what we'd be able to bring home. I do think that there is definitely more of an emphasis on the Champions League as opposed to Serie A. And I don't understand that. I don't like that. But I guess now seeing the lack of depth in this squad. If we're looking at it the way Oaktree is, and like I said last episode with the financial aspect, I guess the Champions League makes the most sense to go after and go all in for, because since it looks like we're not going to be able to invest in players, well, we're going to have to raise funds one way or another, and a deep Champions League run will probably help with that. And then maybe like a one big player sale will also help supplement that. But yeah, I don't want to give up on the Serie A title, although judging by the first five games, it looks like we have. Very disappointing, you know, two wins, two draws, and a loss. You expect better, especially after the way we started last year.
So you think that we've we're giving up on Scudetto?
Five, I think, games. So I mean, I think that, listen, look at how we did against City.
How many points back are we? Say what you were saying. We're 3 points behind first place. And first place is currently Torino. No other team is going to drop a stinker and lose.
Well, I mean, if you look at you know, the genius that is Nima, who put this negativity out into the atmosphere. Being at the stadium, I feel like it literally leaked into the players. Like, I don't believe in jinxes. I don't believe in that. But like, I don't know. I feel like negativity breeds negativity, and if you have a negative attitude, it rubs off on the people around you. It happens in business, right? It happens in a work scenario. If someone's negative in the office, it turns into a cancer and spreads. And
so we're gonna blame this one on Nemo.
I mean, I'm not realistically gonna blame, but like, I don't like that. Like, even yesterday in the space, I was getting really annoyed with him saying, "Oh, it's gonna be a 1-1 tie. Oh, Milan are gonna come back." But I'm like, I didn't like that mindset. Like, I don't know. Anyway.
It's just a defense mechanism to protect being hurt.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
The possibility.
I would never want to do that. I don't know. That's just me.
Is there a possibility that it's not about, you know, we don't want to win Scudetto, or is there a possibility that, you know, it's not about that our depth is not good or anything like that? Is there a chance that it was just a shit game that didn't turn out our way? Lautaro had an opportunity. Duram had an opportunity. Milan had plenty of opportunities.
It happens. At least it's Milan, you know? I mean, I'm not saying if it's any better. I don't want to lose to them especially. But at least it's a team that's not on the level of Sassuolo, who got relegated. Imagine your only two losses in the whole league come to a club that got relegated. They stole 6 points from you, and they still went down. And they couldn't get points off anybody else.
Right.
That's, you know, it happens. You drop a stinker. And when fans were getting, you know, all up in arms and flipping out, or, you know, 10 minutes in, like, bro, there's 80 minutes left. Like, there was 80 minutes left at that time. Like, why are you thinking the game's over? Why are you thinking that it's done and dusted? Like, I don't like to have that kind of attitude. I don't like to be in a negative. And listen, I tweeted out, you know, to Sahil. I said, "Hey, you know what? I'll eat it. I was wrong. I said we were going to win easily. Clearly, we weren't. We didn't." It happens, man. It happens. These kinds of games can take place. Hopefully, like I said, we learn from them and we're able to move on. And you know, next game out, this isn't a problem, you know. Like, what is it next? I think next week we got, if I'm not mistaken, next week. I know we got Torino in 2 weeks. Next week, wow, we actually got a tough run of games. We got, what is it, Udinese, and then Torino. Yeah. So we'll see how the team, you know, responds in these next two matches, and hopefully we'll be able to do something about it, because, you know, I want to still go for the Scudetto. I don't know. We don't know what's being said behind closed doors.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I just have a feeling that Oaktree only wants us really to focus on the Champions League and the Club World Cup, because that's where the money is.
I mean, they might, but Inzaghi did put out the starting 11 that, you know, it wasn't like he was going heavy on the rotations or anything like that. I think, I mean, I really... I'm going to avoid Twitter for a little bit because I think that there are a number of fans, and it doesn't matter if they're Interisti or fans of any club in football, that they kind of wait for the other shoe to drop, to jump all over the team and be like, I don't know. It's part of fandom. Like, there's a weird part of fandom in every single club where they just like, they almost revel in the club not doing well. I'm not really like that. I'd like to be a little bit more objective about this. We were sleeping for the first 15, 20 minutes of this game, like legitimately sleeping. Looked like we were, you know, walking through, what do you call that? That sand or that mud, that, what do you call that shit? You know what I'm talking about? When you step quicksand? In like quicksand. There you go. Quicksand. You go. It looked like we were running in quicksand. Too many giveaways. Pulisic just like Mkhitaryan letting him blow past him. Like Pulisic obviously has some speed there. And then the way that we defended that, but from both Acerbi and Pavard, it was obvious that we were just like not, we didn't have the right intensity to start the game. I think getting kicked in the teeth helped wake us up a little bit. We definitely took control of the game as the first half went on. You did have that Lautaro, you know, stinging Maignan's gloves. You did have Thuram, you know, getting a good opportunity in the box. And Maignan made a nice save there. Obviously, we go up with a beautiful goal. Barella switch, Lauti. Trying to put... I think it was Tomori on skates or Gabia on skates, lays it off to Di Marco, scores a beautiful goal. And then we just took control at the end of that second half. Like I was feeling very confident going in, at the end of the first half. I was feeling very confident going into the second half. What was your feeling once that second half started and immediately off the bat, like Milan come out hot, Leao has that header that Sommer has to make a sick save on?
Yeah, I was a little disappointed for sure with the way we came out. You know, you thought you would be able to carry over the way the first half ended to start out, and I was kind of hoping we'd be able to get a quick goal, you know, and I thought that if we did do that, they would break, you know, like it's really what I thought would happen. Unfortunately, was not the case, clearly. And I think it's kind of a really not a testament, but what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe it is a testament of how our year's gone, where, you know, we come out a little flat in times, especially in the league, and then we allow our opponent to kind of grow into a game or a half or whatever it may be, and then, you know, we have to react, which you should always try to be proactive and not reactive. And I think that was a big turning point and allowed Milan to still have confidence by being able to come out in the half and have that kind of performance right off the, you know, the whistle.
Am I remembering this correctly? Inter played on Wednesday and Milan played on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Do you think that is kind of how you saw it play out? Because the end of the second half, I thought that the energy had left Çalhanoğlu in particular. Barella, I thought his influence was waning, partly tired, but partly also because he switched over to the left-hand side once Fratesi came on, and he just didn't have, you know, he just didn't have the influence that he typically does. Do you think that the extra day of rest gave them any sort of leg up here?
I mean, I don't want to use it as a crutch, but of course, you know, I think if you have an extra day to recover, that always makes a difference. Especially when you get absolutely bodied, that you kind of coast through that game. So really, you're saving even more energy. You know, we played a hard fought 90 minutes with Man City, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse as to why we didn't win this one. I mean, it definitely could have played a factor. You still expect better, you know, in a derby. You expect to be guns blazing, you know, amped up, ready to run through a brick wall for your city and for the colors. But
as the first half, as the second half goes along, Milan continues to create a little bit more. They're eventually called for a penalty. There were a few decisions here that I want to ask you about. Firstly, let's just get the Pulisic one out of the way. For me, it's a goal. Like, it hits the top of his shoulder, and it is what it is. Let's talk Sommer, Tammy Abraham. The Sommer where he cleared the ball with his feet.
Clearance. You know, when I saw it in real time, I thought he got the ball cleared first. I think it was just follow through after the clearance, but he's going for the clearance. He's not going to, you know, do anything to Tammy. So no penalty for me in that either. And had it been Manyan and Duram or whatever, I would have said the same thing. And then even with the Lautaro incident, no penalty. Same thing that happened with Pulisic. You know, like, there's no penalty there or no foul, whatever.
Yeah, if Lauti's, it's for me, it's pretty simple. If Lauti's handball is a penalty, then Pulisic's goal is not a goal. Like, those are the exact same incident.
Exactly.
And then as far as the Sommer and Tammy stuff, Sommer really did the only thing that he could do there in that moment, which is very similar to what we saw against Nzola in the Fiorentina game last year, where he did the only thing he could in that moment, which is go for the ball, clear it, and then happen to, you know, catch the player. So in both instances, Sommer does the only thing that he could do in that incident. The speed at which he was going does not allow him to immediately pull his leg back. Tammy going in for the challenge puts him at risk. Like, he's going in for the challenge on that ball. Like, it's really, in both instances, the Nzola one and this Tammy one, Sommer does the only thing that he could do, and it's just interpreted differently by the referees. So, you know, it could have, for me, it's never a penalty. But I think a lot of people would have turned to the Nzola one from last year and say, oh, well, if this is a penalty, that's a penalty. And whatever it is. All right. Just thinking about this game is getting me upset here. Now I'm getting a little heated. Let's talk about some of these players here. So let's start with the good. Jan Sommer got himself in a little trouble on one occasion.
Hold on, there is one thing from this game I did want to talk about, and I was trying to remember what it was, but late in the second half, I think it was still 1-1 at this point. Thuram does some nice dribbling on the right side of the box, still has possession of the ball, and instead of either continuing his play and dribbling or laying it off, he decides to go down looking for a penalty.
Yep.
I was very upset with that because I thought, one, he could have actually earned a penalty had he continued trying to dribble. And two, instead of looking for the penalty, look for the right play.
Yep.
Look for someone in the box. You had options. I think Hakan was right on the edge of the box there. He could have laid it off to him. I think he, you know, could have tried to cross it across the face of goal. Probably would have been tough to get through. I think Manyan might have made a save, but I would have been much happier trying something than just looking for a cheap penalty in that instance. And I was pretty upset with that in the moment. But I wish.
Yeah, that's not, it's not us.
There's some times where he goes down a little too easy for me, and I wish he wouldn't. Like, I don't want him to develop that reputation, because I feel like then if you keep doing that, when you actually do get fouled,
it turns on you.
You might not get that favor. So.
Yeah, he's got a lot of experience telling him that he usually gets those calls, but it's not something that you want any of your players to really pick up on. Just a lot of subpar, but let's get into it. What do you want to say about Jan Sommer?
I mean, there's nothing. I can't keep repeating myself about this guy, but like, I don't get the people who criticize him or get upset with things. He kept us in that game. He really did. And yeah, maybe I wish he would have had a little bit more of an effort on the Gabia goal. But at the same time, like, The guy was phenomenal. The guy was phenomenal. Distribution, I thought, was pretty solid. Not as good as the game, or is not as good as in the game with Man City, but still, I think,
agreed,
you know, serviceable for sure. It is what it is. I mean, I think people need to recognize him for what he offers, and he is a fantastic shot stopper. And I think that's something that, you know, we were starved from with Handanovic in the later years of his career. Onana was pretty solid, but I think that I would actually say, in terms of shot stop distribution, it's night and day. But in terms of shot stopping, Sommer's been better for us than Onana has. And listen, this is probably his last year with the club, if I had to guess. At least as the everyday starter, I think it eventually goes to Josep Martínez. But fantastic performance from him. I think he's the only guy, in my opinion, aside from Bastoni, really, who can leave the pitch holding his head high for his performance in the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people get on him for the distribution because it does seem like there's one or two incidents that he could have done better in each game. And that, you know, that's going to bite you a few times throughout the season. But for the most part, the distribution is fairly good. It's obviously not his strength. His strength is the shot stopping. He kept us. It's so ridiculous to say, and it's why I was so bothered with everyone saying, like, oh, Inter's going to destroy Milan, despite the fact that I'm a superstitious person, but despite the fact that, you know, we definitely have been the better side for a long time now, Sommer is a big reason why this wasn't an embarrassing scoreline. Because it could have been, because Milan had several big chances, and he deserves a little bit more respect here. A little bit more respect. All right. I want to go to the forward line here for a second.
Okay.
Now, with last pod, we talked about getting concerned about when should we get concerned about Lautaro. Today, even though we said, you know, by Udinese needs to be scoring, the performance, the way that he played today, is enough for me to be officially concerned. Like, does not look like himself at all.
At all.
At yeah. all.
Looks very slow. Passing is not coming.
Looks very slow. Looks very hesitant. Like,
yeah.
Not decisive.
I don't know if he's carrying a knock. He does look a little out of shape, in my opinion. Like, I mean, I feel like he's carrying on a little weight. I'm not trying to fat shame him, but
fat shame him, dude.
It's like, dude, man. Like,
he's our captain.
He looks really slow. And the thing that's disappointing, and, like, you know, we could look at it really in American sports, at least, you know, when someone, you know, they have a career year in a contract year, and then after they get paid, they just, like, coast. And I hope that's not what he's doing. I don't think that's his mentality. I don't think that's the kind of person he is. But it just looks that way. Like, if you just look at it high level, it kind of just gives off that attitude. And I'm hoping he snaps out of it soon. Yeah, but today was a very disappointing game. You know, and I wonder, did we have to take Bastoni off there? And now, you know, it's like, why not bring Taremi on? Who knows? Maybe he could have scored the winner in this match.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about those something.
Subs. I think he would have offered more link-up play. He would have offered more when dropping back and being able to turn and pass and stuff. And movement-wise, I don't know. I have a lot of questions for Inzaghi with this one. And I know I said I didn't want to be critical of him, but I feel like this one, he really got everything wrong, which was kind of a surprise, really. Like, I feel like he'd been on a good run with his substitutions and when to make them. This one was a little concerning, because I think who he brought on and when he brought them on, it just didn't feel right. I thought that with the way Mickey played in the first half, immediately at halftime, boom, you bring on Zielinski. Who knows? That could be a spark right away off the bench. But yeah, we get listen. I can nitpick all day. There's a lot of things that bother me about this match, and
I don't think that's nitpicking, because I have the same thoughts as far as Inzaghi's substitutions today. I don't think I always try to find the reason. Like, if I'm in Inzaghi, what, you know, not just acting like a fan, like, what could be the reason for some of these substitutions? But I completely agree with you. Like, Fratesi first off the bench
did not
was I don't know that the game called for what he brings to the table.
I would agree.
I do think we needed sort of a lot of the first half. You saw Barella dropping really deep to be, you know, to help with the build-up play. I think we needed a complement to that, someone who is really good at possessing and carrying the ball from deep. We haven't seen Fratesi do that in a while. He used to do that at Sassuolo, but we haven't seen him do it here for Inter in a while. So I thought Zielinski should have been the first one off the bench. Let's look at these other substitutions real quick.
Well, you had Darmian for Dumfries.
Yeah, I was okay with that. I don't think Dumfries was offering anything.
Yeah, not even going forward, really. And, you know, I don't want Julian to listen to this and think I'm ripping on his boy, but, like, I didn't see anything today from him that...
There wasn't. Yeah. Aslani for Çalhanoğlu in the 63rd. I thought Aslani actually played pretty well.
Oh, I disagree.
Okay.
I saw a couple of passes just side to side, and that's it. There was nothing offered to go forward. You know, there was a couple of times on our own defensive side where he just didn't get clearances, and he had, like, little weak touches, and he wouldn't react to situations. You know, I actually really panicked when Leao was dribbling at him on that side where Pavard was caught further up the pitch, and Aslani had to be the one to drop back. He got cooked there. He did, you know, in a very, like, you know, Ole defense there with, like, just throwing his, like, right leg behind his left trying to stop. It's like, dude, I don't know where you learn to defend like that, but that's inexcusable at this stage. And I don't think he's Inter quality by any means. And I was kind of hoping he would prove me wrong this match when he came on, but I'm kind of checked out on him, and I hope that we sell him in the summer, because I don't see a player worth having, and I would rather bring, you know, a kid like Fabian back, or I don't know who else really we could even afford, if we could even afford anything. But yeah, that's how I feel about Aslani's performance.
I just looked up Aslani on Twitter just to see what people are saying. Because I thought he was, like, fairly safe on the ball. I didn't feel like he was caught out. Maybe because it was a slight improvement over what we've seen. Although I thought his last two appearances were fairly good, but maybe that's just me. So Aslani, you wouldn't have made that choice there. And then Zielinski comes on in the 74th for Barella.
A little too late,
yeah. He also got the full 90 against Man City. So I understand. I understand Çalhanoğlu and Barella coming off, even though, you know, they are our most talented midfielders. This is going to be a lot of football for them. So I understand trying to get them off their feet a little bit. Augusto for Bastoni. Bastoni got 90 against City, but I still think Taremi would have been the choice there, just given how...
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And with the way Bastoni was crossing balls into the box, like, wouldn't you love to have another taller forward, you know, up top there? I don't get it. I don't get that call. And listen, maybe Bastoni said something that, hey, I'm exhausted, I don't know if I can do this, you know, again.
It's possible. That's the thing that we don't know.
100%. Like,
we're not there.
We don't know
any of this stuff.
So, you know, I'm not gonna hate on it too much. But I just felt like with the way Bastoni was playing, it didn't look like he was tired to me. And I think Taremi could have offered more. You know, at that point, Lauti was shot. He wasn't doing anything, really. At least Duran was still trying to go at people and you know, do maybe a little too much, like playing hero ball. But it's just, it's something that I wish. And who knows, maybe, you know, I'm not watching... you know, Sky Italia right now, so I don't know, you know, what Inzaghi's saying. Maybe he is
pass.
You know, you're not gonna watch.
I'm not. I can't do it.
Fair. But yeah, who knows?
For
maybe he has, like, a more of a clear answer there for us why none of the forwards were taken out. But yeah,
who would you have brought Taremi on for? Lautaro or Thuram?
Lautaro. Not a question.
Yep.
The way he was playing. I think he should have been taken off for sure.
No, I think being critical of Inzaghi is fair, even without knowing, like, you know, what the fitness situation is, because that's always something that, you know, fans should keep in mind. It's like, just because they're on the team, or just because they're on the bench, or just because they're starting, you don't know what it looks like in training, right? You don't know what they might be carrying. So, before we get into some of these other players, three draws if you include the Champions League, one loss to start the season, only two wins. One of the main reasons we were able to capture the Scudetto last year is that we were much more consistent, like much more consistent than the previous year. The previous year had been the 12 losses year. What's your gut feeling with this team right now? Because there's a few different options. One, this is a good kick in the teeth for us, and we can be consistent throughout the rest of the year. Two, we have a year like 2 years ago where we lose 12 games, like just don't have it in the Serie A, and fight for the Champions League. Or three, what is the third option? Or we just have, you know, just an up and down season. What's your gut feeling with what you've seen from this team for the first few games?
I mean, a little concerned. You know, when your best player, or arguably, I mean, I would say Barella is our best player, but when, you know, the person who wears the armband is considered one of your best players, isn't playing to his standard, isn't scoring goals at all, like, even offering, like, at this point in last year, I think he had 5 goals already.
Yeah.
He's got 0 right now.
Yep.
2 goals makes a difference. You know, who knows? If Barry turns one of these losses into a draw, and maybe it turns a draw into a win, and then there you go. You got 4 more points instead of, you know, where you're at right now. So it's a bit of a concern. You know, you were kind of hoping that after the season he put in, and with us kind of putting, you know, Ballon d'Or, you know,
propaganda
nods in there and expecting that, now with the way it's, you know, it's like, imagine if he wins, the criticism he'll get then, you know, I doubt he's gonna win, but you expect better, you expect more growth, and you expect after you are rewarded with an increase in salary and are you know, extended, that you would, you know, return that effort back to the club as well. You know, they had faith in you, you should, you know, return that or to them. So it's a little concerning for sure. I know it's only 5 games in. If I look back at the year, what is it, two years ago, I think we started like this as well, 2-2-1. We ended up losing 12 games that year. I don't think that this team is anywhere close to losing 12 games this season, but I mean, in that, in the league. But it is something to have, you know, some concern. There, you know, maybe fatigue is catching up with all these guys. We don't know.
That is my biggest concern, is the calendar this year. Given the intensive year that we just had, I think we just played the most games in Europe. I think we just had a season like that, where we played more games than anyone. So, or at least up there, like one of the top.
I would say up there. I don't know, because teams in England have the second cup. They got 2 cups to play in. You know, they got the Carabao and the FA. If a team goes deep in both, and they go deep in Champions League, I think that they.
I'm forgetting exactly where I heard it, but
I would say we were probably in the top 5 of most games played, though.
Yeah, I think we had an incredibly busy calendar, but. Just, it's also the internationals that we have in the team. I think my biggest concern with this team right now is just like fatigue. A year of playing really intense football and it taking a toll on them both physically and mentally. And, you know, there being a drop off in form. I think it's possible. There might be a little bit of an emotional dump as well, which we've seen from basically every Scudetto winner.
Let me ask you something. I'm kind of, it's just popping around in my head now. Do you think that this squad has enough quality and depth to be able to compete in multiple tournaments?
I do think they have
enough
quality.
You really do?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I actually don't.
It's obvious that you don't, because you don't believe in Fratesi and Aslani, whereas I'm not. I don't think that their development has been as poor as a lot of people say. I can remember Çalhanoğlu Brozovic at 24 and 25 being way worse than what we're seeing out of Aslani and Fratesi sometimes.
I don't think Brozovic was worse than Aslani. I'll give you Fratesi. I think
he was booed out of San Siro multiple times.
Bro, that's, I don't know. To me, the Bantu era teams, you could have booed a lot of guys off that. You could have booed Icardi off the pitch. You know, like he had games where he was an absolute stinker there. I get what you're saying for sure, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I just disagree. I don't think Brozovic has been it. Aslani, I see zero development. Zero. Fratesi, I understand what he brings. I do. I don't appreciate it. I want my midfielders to be able to be strong on the ball and offer something and quick 1-2s, and I don't think that. Now, if I need someone to get in the box, I want Fratesi to be there, which I do kind of blame him for the goal that was allowed by Gabbia. But anyway, it's you know, I don't know. I think I have a higher expectation, and I've, this is his third year now with Inter, Aslani, and I just don't see. Normally, you see a little bit of progress. You see, you know, something that gives you hope, and I haven't seen anything that gives me any hope. And you know, I wonder if there's an opportunity. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but it's like, I wish we would look at our Primavera team and look at the deficiencies in our senior
team. There's no Registas in the Primavera team.
That's exactly where I'm going to. And it's like, you see that, and it's like, okay, maybe you have to start trying to mold a player to become a Regista in the Primavera, develop him there, let him kind of grow, maybe loan him out to another club and let him continue to play as a Regista. You know, I mean, I know he offers more going forward, so I don't think that this will ever happen with a DiMaggio or a Berenbrook, but you got to find somebody who can do, you know, be coached up and molded into that type of player, because I just don't see Aslani being that guy for us personally.
They would just buy a player. I mean, I don't think, like, no
I'm
one's gonna
tired,
no one's talking
we got
about
no money.
Primavera.
We got no, like, I'd rather spend
they'll,
money
they'll
on
just
on
sell like Bisek, Thuram. This is like not even a conversation that, if we're having this conversation after the Milan loss, like, we might be taking it a little bit too hard. I think as far as
I
you saying
think,
that there's
you,
not
you
enough
saw the drop
depth,
off though. You saw the drop off when those guys came on the pitch. It's like instantly.
They weren't playing well before those.
But then it got even worse when those guys came on.
Did it?
Yes.
I don't.
We gave up the
agree.
as soon as Aslani and Fratesi came on, we gave up the midfield. That was it. We
gave
lost
up
the midfield battle. The rest of the game.
I mean, I disagree, but
okay.
You know. Aslani was literally didn't misplace a pass. That's what I'm talking about. Like, I didn't see as
bro,
bad of a game.
I just said he went side to side with his passes. Like, okay, like, anybody could just pass to the guy standing right next to them.
Yeah,
you and me could do that in a Sunday league game. Like, you're not progressing anything. You're not making a difference. Just because looking at stats and seeing that.
So what do you want him to do? Spam long balls? Like, what if they're not
there? I didn't
say
spam long,
but
you're doing nothing to try to break lines. You just let me pass. He was literally dropping back to the back three, and it's just him and Acerbi passing.
But that's what Çalhanoğlu does to build up from the back as well. I don't. I
yes,
think it's
he
going
does,
way
he does
too
that to
hard.
Build up, and then
Aslani
he goes
not, was
and
not
gets
the
passes
problem
to
today.
Go forward.
We didn't lose the game because of him. We
I did not
lose
say
the
game we lost
because
the game,
of Aslani.
But we
I'm
gave
just saying
up the
it's going way too hard on him.
Came on. Dude. Okay.
It's going way too hard on him. Like he actually had nothing. He actually what?
I just said I see nothing. That's all. I say nothing.
Okay. All right. All right. I don't even know where to go from here because I hate these fucking lose pods because you end up just, we end up just like shitting on the team, and then, you know, next five games in a row, we might win every game by four. So who knows what's going to happen. But let's get into some of these questions here because I don't even want to talk about some of these players right now. All right. From at SauceGMP, here's a question. Why is Nima a rat? You want to answer that?
Yeah, it's disgusting. You know, that you just have that kind of before a big derby, you're already conceding defeat and saying yeah. It's over.
I have a take on Nima's predictions here. I think he's very, very wants to get ahead of getting disappointed by Inter. So he typically always predicts the disappointing result from Inter. And just statistically, it's going to bear out some of the time. So it's like, you know,
he'll go on the pod, his podcast tomorrow or whatever, and then sound like, oh, see, look how smart I am for predicting Inter losing to me. Like, no, I'm sorry.
You're not Nima Domas.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you didn't do, I don't know.
He's going to tear Inter apart, but I think he and Napoli combined for one shot yesterday. So.
He is. And he's going to praise, you know, the tactical masterclass between Conte and Mota. Like, oh my gosh, he's got nothing. I'm sorry. Like, listen, I was overly confident coming into this match. I thought we would cook Fonseca. I thought we would get him fired.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe Inzaghi's playing 4D chess and he wants Fonseca to be here the long season, and then he's like, all right, I can take him apart, you know, piece by piece. I don't even know if Fonseca makes it to December, so we'll see what happens there. But it drove me insane, the negativity, and just hearing him in spaces yesterday, like it was frustrating for sure.
All right, from at @m6adam_, please speak on Mickey and why Inzaghi keeps picking him as a starter.
He's got nudes of Inzaghi or something.
Same thing from AR Guru 2K19. Will Zielinski replace Mickey?
He's got blackmail on him. There's no way that he keeps dropping stinker after stinker after stinker. His mistake led to the goal for Pulisic. I don't know why you try to play that ball. You know what I mean? It just made no sense to me. And very disappointing to see him get, and you know, I tweeted this too. It's like he got a quick yellow. If Barella had done that, he would have been taken off immediately at halftime. Immediately. I don't understand the long leash that he allows with Mkhitaryan when he continues to not really do anything that offers anything. I just don't get it. I don't get the love fest with Henrik Mkhitaryan. But
so if there is a pattern emerging here, Mkhitaryan starts. Oh, did Mickey start? Mickey started the Monza game, right? And then Zielinski came in for him towards the end of the game, about 30 minutes or so.
The only game that Zielinski has started was the City game.
So if we are just going to predict a pattern here, Mickey got 60 or so minutes against Monza, and then Zielinski came in for the last 30 against Man City. Zielinski got the 60 minutes. Mkhitaryan gets the last 30 against Milan. Mkhitaryan gets the first 60. Zielinski gets the last 30. I think we might be in for a Zielinski start next time out to get the next 60. So
it would be nice.
Mickey has played his way. I don't think Inzaghi is going to hand Zielinski the automatic starter position in this midfield. Do I think he should? Yeah, I think he should. I do think he should. I don't think that the defensive disparity between the two is as significant as initially thought. I really don't. Zielinski also seems like a super willing runner. Everything he did against Manchester City, like, just replicate that, and then you are absolutely the unquestioned starter. But I think for now, he's probably graduated himself into rotating with Mickey. I really, really don't think we're going to see Mickey start as many games as he did last year.
I hope you're right.
I think that there will be that transition soon. All right. From Sean, how does Inzaghi and the players come into a derby that arrogant and slow on the ball? It wasn't the same as the calmness we showed last season. It just seems dead. Yeah, that was, I definitely thought it took them forever to get into the game. I do think there is some complacency maybe that sets in where you just had a game that gave you a lot of confidence against Manchester City. You've picked up 6 straight wins against the guys across from you. They've been terrible to start the season. They're already thinking about sacking their manager. Like, I do think there probably was an element of being a little bit overconfident. What do you think?
For sure. I think they definitely heard me in the space yesterday, you know, beating my drum and acting like we were going to smoke them. And but all kidding aside, yeah, I think there was definitely a sense of arrogance there and almost like we've owned these guys for 6 straight matches. They've got nothing on us. We have nothing to worry about. They're falling apart. Easy win. Like, we could come in here relaxed. We'll take care of it. You know, and that's it, kind of thing.
Yeah. A person, 1352, if either Esposito keeps playing well, should they just be considered for the first team or FDK? Let's go through that one quickly.
Which one? Esposito and who else?
Esposito's, any of the Esposito's.
Oh, either Esposito. Got it. I would sell Seba and I would probably keep Pio.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that we sell Seba because I'm hoping that he has a big season and that maybe it helps us not have to have a big sale next year if he can score 10 or so goals and give us a little bit of money there. Francesco Pio, I just don't think that under this current management and Inzaghi as the coach that we'll ever see one of these youngsters make it into the first team, unfortunately. But I do think he's got some good talent. Let's see. How long until I never have to see Aslani play for my team again at IMFN11? He will be playing this year. It looks like we've seen a lot of him, actually. Like,
just
it's
wait
all
for
been
summer 2025, buddy. You and me, we could be. All we got to do is be patient, and good things might happen there.
Listen, I think we've all praised Inzaghi, and we all really love
for those
Inzaghi
of you who are listening to this and not watching it on YouTube, I wish you could have seen Alessandro's face. But anyway.
No, I mean, we can praise Inzaghi and say he's the greatest manager in the world, but then if you don't believe that he knows what he's looking at as far as a player evaluation, then, you know, that might be a fair criticism. He loved Correa. you know? So that might be a fair criticism, but I also think that he's a very competitive person. Again, guys, like, we're fans. Like, he's a very competitive person. He wants to win. He definitely didn't want to lose that derby. He wouldn't be putting on, you know, Aslani out there for shits and giggles.
We don't know
that. He could have moved Barella back to Regista. Whatever. I think Aslani is going to turn things around, but it seems like
I'm the
only one.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I think I'm the only one. How is it that DiMarco from FC Andre 1908, how is it that DiMarco is now able to give us a solid 90 minutes? I thought he was done at 45. The internet told me so. DiMarco can't give us 90 minutes, actually. He's not playing in the next game. So.
Wow, you're coming out and saying he's not playing in the next game.
He's probably not going to start. Not if he came into this game.
I don't think he starts. But
if
I think
he came
he might,
into
he
this
might,
game
he
off of an injury and then played a full 90 minutes, you know, he's probably going to be sat down.
Fair.
At FC Andre again, 1908, equal slander for all. They're clearly spent and need more of a break between matches, more rotations, or just fixture congestion. I think Inzaghi from last year, he really is a start your best 11 kind of guy, and this fixture congestion has forced him to rotate. So yeah, I think he's just gonna keep rotating, which at this point is a good thing because I don't know, Johnny, what does our best starting 11 right now, based off of current form, include Taremi and Zielinski or Mickey and Lautaro?
Oof, that's a tough one. In terms of current form,
Let's do the whole team. So Sommer starts.
Sommer starts.
Pavard's not looks great the last couple.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'd go Bisek, Acerbi, Bastoni. Mm-hmm. I'm going
Aslani,
Augusto, and Darmian as my wingbacks.
Oh wow!
I'm going Zielinski, Çalhanoğlu, Barella, and yeah, I guess Taremi and Thuram.
Taremi and Thuram.
Right now, I'm on current form. That would probably be my 11.
I think that is the best 11. Maybe
right now, yeah.
Maybe DiMarco Augusto switches, but yeah,
maybe.
I don't think
maybe. But I like the defensive solidity that you get from Augusto a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to comment on any of these players quickly?
To be honest, not really. Great pass from Barella. That's about all. The only thing I was like pretty hyped about.
Yeah, I do. We just touched on it quickly. I do want to throw out that I thought Pavard missed a lot of tackles, and I thought he's looked kind
Tons.
Of ass the last
Tons.
Few
yeah,
games.
Yeah, he's looked like a shell of himself. I don't know what's going on with him. Very disappointing.
Ever since he got married.
Women, bro, you know?
Damn.
Is this podcast going to go to shit when you get married?
It might, dude. I'm,
dang, man.
I feel like I'm part of the team, so it might. Anyone else? Dumfries, I thought, was non-existent. No, I guess we kind of talked about all these people. Mkhitaryan. DiMarco, you know, played well. Played well for having missed all of Man City, which maybe is the point. Maybe these players can't handle this fixture list.
Yeah, no, it probably could be. I mean, even though advancements in health and diet and training, I think still just because you keep adding games and week after week after week, these guys really don't really get a chance to recharge. It's going to start taking a toll. And I worry that not even just Inter, I just think the quality of football that we're seeing. Like, I saw like a really interesting video about it was about the finalists for the Ballon d'Or in 2004 compared to the finalists in the Ballon d'Or for this year. The quality is night and day, man. Night and day.
It really is.
And it's pretty sad when you look at it. I think it's a huge downtick in quality, and then you look at the congestion of fixtures. I think that it's only going to make the quality of the game go down.
Yeah,
like right now, like in 20 years, we might be saying the same thing about footballers in 20 years that we're saying right now. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just not going to be the same, and that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're just going to see a lot more injuries and a lot more. I mean, no one can function when they're completely and totally tired, right? It just doesn't doesn't happen. So, yeah. Good on UEFA for getting more money for themselves while single-handedly killing these players. And yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
Anything else that you wanted to get into here? I know it's kind of, sorry for the low energy, guys, but it's been a while since we've had like a big game.
Yeah, loss. I don't remember the last time we actually had a loss episode. I guess the Sassuolo game, but we already had the title wrapped up, so we didn't care.
Now that you've had like, you know, 40, actually an hour to talk about this, like how pissed are you? I feel a little bit better. Like, I feel like we're gonna brush this off a little bit.
I think we are. Yeah, I don't think that we're.
But
you
I
know,
think that might be.
I don't think it's the end of the world.
Might
but I
be
do
my
think like we have to.
Optimism.
We have to figure. I don't know. We have to figure it out. I think we have to get the rotation correct. I think we have to get the right attitude too. I think we had a hunger last year because of the way we got destroyed for the title. Whereas you know, now it's almost like, all right, we did it. We got the second star. We can cruise kind of thing. And I think you have to change that mentality for sure and be able to show up for every match and not treat it like it's just a glorified friendly. Goodness.
Have not won a game since August 30th. And the schedule is so brutal.
Who hasn't? We haven't?
We haven't. Yeah, August 30th was the
Atlanta game. Check the facts, homie. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, that sounds about Friday, right, but that's depressing. That's depressing, dude.
And the schedule coming up is Saturday, then Tuesday, then Saturday. There's fucking 6 more games in October alone. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of football. Man, and we're playing Juventus coming up here too. So, all right, guys. You have anything else, Johnny? Should we get out of here?
No, I gotta keep packing, man. I gotta get this life on the road here.
Yeah. Don't go on Twitter. Try to avoid it. Do your best.
Well, I'm getting cooked. So.
Why I don't talk shit. Alrighty.
But if I didn't talk shit, like, is it me? No, exactly. Like, I gotta run my mouth
That's true.
But at least I'll fess up. Like, unlike a lot of people on the Twitterverse, the Twitter tacticos who don't fess up when they're wrong, I don't have a problem admitting when I'm wrong. So I was wrong about this match today.
I'm just too nervous about the jinx, so I don't say we're gonna cook anyone. Stop with the jinx.
I said I wanted to watch the next game with you. I don't even want to watch it with you.
No, get that
negativity out of here.
It's not about the negativity. I'm Italian. I'm Catholic. Jinx, I'm Sicilian. Bro. There's a lot of superstitions that we have.
Bro. This guy's worried about the malocchio that doesn't exist in calcio.
I am worried about the malocchio. I am. I've seen a lot. I've also been a fan of this team for a long time, so I've seen all sorts of outcomes.
Bro, I'm older than you. I've been a fan of this team
all sorts of outcomes.
But like, I'm not gonna sweat this. I'm not gonna sweat this.
I've decided to not sweat it either. I think we can pin this on or you know what, the way that I wanna come out of this is like, okay, we got kicked in the teeth. Like really kicked in the teeth. So now it's time to wake up. And start punching back. So that's where we're at. All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.